for a great year. How about you? I'm ready for a year of overflow and overcoming. And we know it's taking place. Yes. Amen. We're tasting of it now. Well, are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me get situated here. As if I'm going to look at the notes. Somehow lately we just start off on a scripture, end up wherever we end up. But I do have notes. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now God here says He's a rewarder, God. And He pays the rewards of those that diligently seek Him. Not occasionally, not when it's convenient, but they develop a routine and a discipline of seeking God. Not because God demands our attention, but because seeking God takes us into the place of faith, and faith takes us into the blessings of God. So God says, without faith, you can't please Him. Why? Because without faith, you cannot receive of His blessings. Faith is a connector God gave us between our lives and situations now and heaven's provision to see us as overcomers in those conditions and situations. Without faith, you're subject to being under the oppression of the enemy. You are limited by your own physical and natural strength, but through faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So God says, without faith, you cannot please Me. I understand that God is a rewarder God. I also understand that His rewards are the only ones worth being concerned about. You can work all your life for natural rewards. Collections, activities, experiences, natural victories. But when you die, it's over. And for the rest of eternity, the only thing that matters are what rewards you receive from God. Amen. Yesterday was a bad day for people named Paul. Paul Crouch passed away, and I believe he's in heaven. Amen. Hopefully he's in heaven. Are you following me? I believe he's in heaven. Paul Walker passed away. I don't know where he is. And the reporting all over the news how nice of a guy he was and how he had charities and all these things. But the question is, was he born again? And all his movies made, I think, as they said, $2 billion his movies have grossed. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of reward. Driving a Porsche when he died. Amen. Had all probably the natural blessings, the natural world and finances could buy for you. You would say he was well rewarded in this life. But now the question arises, what is he being rewarded with now? If he was born again and following God, there lays up for him a mansion and a whole set of blessings set aside by God. I don't know. If he wasn't, then none of those rewards he stored up in earth matter a single thing now. Not a thing. The point being here is not to pick on Paul Walker or anybody else. The point is what you do in this life determines your rewards for eternity. And only one set really matters. And God, He said He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That lets me know if I want to be in God's reward system, I must seek Him. Amen. And that's the only thing that really is going to pay off in my life. Is what to do regarding my relationship and following through with God's instruction for my life. Well, I have to go to work. Yes, but go to work in what God sent you into. Go to work by faith. Go to work expecting God's wisdom to come on you. Stay active in acting out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Because that faith will take you into God's reward system. Again, without faith, you cannot please God. Now, if I work in the natural world, and I work my 40 hours a week or however many hours you work, and of course I don't know if a minister ever works, not a Holy Ghost minister ever works just 40 hours a week. It seems like it's around the clock. And you receive a paycheck, whatever your job is. That paycheck gives you purchasing power. You can take that paycheck out and you go buy you the big screen TV, you can buy you a TV set, or you can buy you gifts for other people. That paycheck, that money, that currency represents purchasing power. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, there's only one thing that provides you purchasing power. And that's faith. You're trying to be a nice person, will not buy you purchasing power with God. You're begging and pleading God to move in your life, will not buy you any results from God. Your tears and crying out will not buy you results from God. Only faith has the ability to purchase from God. Amen. Because without faith, you cannot believe you receive the promises of God and see them manifested in your life. And so many people in Christianity are trying to purchase from God without the right denomination or without the right currency. When I was going through the Amsterdam airport, I was still in Ghana. And I'm walking through a market they had positioned right in the middle of going from where you are to catch your new flight. You had to go through a little store area. And this big guy comes at me and goes, "Have you got change for Scottish currency?" I said, "No." Oh, he said, "No." He said, are you from England? I said, "No, we're from America." He goes, "Oh, America." I said, "What's wrong with Americans?" In fact, Pastor Ken and I both jumped on. "What's wrong with Americans?" He says, "Well, I've Scottish currency. They won't take it. And I need to exchange it for, you know, currency here. And there's no exchange for Scottish currency open right now." And he wanted to buy something. I said, "Sorry, I've got dollars and they take dollars here." I said it quite like that. But he had money. He had currency. But it wouldn't buy anything where he was at. So it was as if he had nothing. And so many Christians are trying to build up the wrong currency that will not purchase anything from God. They think good works will buy things from God. Or they think, crawling to the altar and crying out and begging, the things we talked about, tears will buy things from God. Getting enough people to pray on the prayer line will buy things from God. And God says, "No, I'm looking for faith." He said, "When he comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Because faith lets you receive of supernatural provision. And it works everywhere, regardless of the country you're in. And so if we really want to have purchasing power with God, it's going to require efforts to seek God and to build our faith account. Faith is the currency. We brought this out last week. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. No faith, no purchase power of the supernatural provision of God. Much faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, when it says that you diligently seek God, I believe it's talking about you spend time in the Word. You spend time going after God, saying, "God, expose this Word to me. Reveal it to me. Impart it unto me." Because the Word says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Time of the Word builds your faith account. Time exercising your faith provides experience in your life to let you build more faith. Faith endeavors amplify and multiply the faith you can operate in. Amen? And so God is looking for people that will become faith-focused, faith-oriented, that are looking to see how much they can build their faith and how much they can grow their faith. And he said, "Those are the ones I'm going to reward." Why? Because they're operating in my heavenly currency. They're operating in that which can actually produce blessing in their life. Are you following me with this? So when we talk about faith, it's not, you know, some alternate message. Well, I go to that faith church and they go to that faith church and they talk about believing and receiving. Well, without believing, there is no receiving. Amen. If you're not a faith Christian, if you're not involved in using faith, then you are a powerless Christian. In fact, you should have the name Christian stripped away from your life, because Christian means anointed. And with no faith, you're not going to operate in any anointing. Faith is heaven's currency. And God doesn't want you coming before Him broke. Amen. And so, learn to work. See, you work your 40 hours on the job to build up natural currency, to receive a natural paycheck. Learn to expend time in the Word and in prayer and in praying in the Holy Ghost, going to church to build your faith, to build up your faith currency accounts. So when a demand is placed upon your life, you have then the ability to purchase results. And understand again, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 talks about a faith cycle that you go from faith to experience and then to more faith. Amen. I mentioned this last week. We had that event with Pastor Bob, and I'm going to keep rubbing it in the devil's face, that I've known for really 25, if not 30 years. I've known that someday I was going to need my faith, especially ever since I came into the Word of Faith teaching. That someday I was going to need my faith at a high level. And I didn't want to be caught short at that time and not have faith to do whatever was necessary. Are you following me? Amen. So I've used for the past 26 years every opportunity to build my faith and to release my faith I could think of. For the most part. For my finances, for my healing, for my relationships, for everything. I'm trying to do it by faith. God says it's just you live by faith. I always wanted to stretch my faith and develop my faith to another level because there's going to be that time I'm going to need it at a high level. Amen. The last thing you want to do is have to learn faith at the last minute when all of a sudden, you know, lung cancer hits you or something. You want to have already used the faith you have, the measure of faith you were given originally, and built it up so when lung cancer hits, you say, you don't belong to me, get off of me. Or it can't even hit. Or are you following me? Because you've got such a shield of faith about you. But if you could see most Christians, here's their shield of faith. They've got the original measure of faith that God says you need to grow it. Build it, develop it so it covers you all around. Versus just hope you're quick enough. Bing, 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 bing. You know, Wonder Woman with her bracelets. We've got to grow our faith. So when we need it, we have it available. And so don't let symptoms rest on your body and you just put up with it. Get angry at it. Attack it. Rise up against it and say, no, you'll not root in here. Well, it's no big deal. I can take a pill. Yes, but then you're not building experience. So when you need it for something more serious later that a pill won't fix, you don't have the faith. Amen. And so, I'm so glad. I'm eternally grateful that at the time I needed faith more than ever before, I'd already experienced many healings by faith and miracles by faith, that it was another step to go to the next level. Amen? And because I'd spent October fasting and praying and seeking God, my faith accounts were at a high level. You know, have you guys ever taken a vacation somewhere and before you planned how much money it was going to take? And so you saved your money or you pulled the money out of accounts or whatever you had to do or you know used your credit card or whatever and you went with enough money to cover the vacation versus you just went broke. We're going to Disney World. How much money do you take? I don't have any money. I'm just hoping they let us in. Really, really want to ride that, you know, what's the name of the mountain? Space Mountain or whatever. You know, I just really want to do that. You have no money? No, you're not going to get on anything. They're going to let you in the gate. Amen. Unless you have a high faith level when you get there and it manifests as you pay the bill. That happened with Pastor Kim Roth. They went to Disney World, didn't have enough money. It's true. They got to the window. They all wanted to go to this one area. I don't know if it was what's the one with the movie stuff in it or whatever? Universal Studios, they wanted to go. They got the window, didn't have enough money. She said, count it again. They counted again, it was like $20 more. She said, count it again. They counted until finally it was enough money in the pile. They pay for all their way in. Just kept their faith active and God multiplied the money. I don't believe all that. Believe what you want, but faith works. But you usually make sure you have enough money in your account before you go on the trip. Spend time saving for some time for the vacation you're going to take. Well, we should have extra overflow in our faith accounts, because you never know when God's going to call you to go outside of your normal daily life and need it for something major. And you want to make sure you've got it available. Right? So be diligent in seeking God, because those rewards are what's going to take you into eternal blessing. Amen. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Remember, faith is the currency of the kingdom of God, right? Matthew chapter 25, to me, is one of the most powerful chapters in the Word. Because the first part of the chapter talks about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And it teaches a lesson that so many of us, it takes years to get a hold of. And that's, don't let the lazy steal all your oil. Amen. It takes time to discern between those that are trying to learn, between those that refuse to learn, to who you should expend your oil on. Did you follow me on that? Because those that want to feed themselves, I'm not feeding. I'm talking about feeding the Word. But those that have a hunger and just don't know, I'll pour myself into that person. Amen. And so one of the lessons you will learn as you move forward in the anointing, as you move forward into faith, you move forward into what God's called you to do, you will have to learn to discern between who you're to impart to and who you let run their own path. Because there'll be a whole set of spiritual leeches try to track you down and drain you dry. Amen. They don't want to come to church. Amen. Don't want to come to church, but then they want to call you during the week and take all your time to get all your revelation, get all your energy, because it wasn't convenient for them to go to church, so they're going to use up all your convenient time. Amen. I don't have time for that. Amen. But those that want to come and apply themselves, I will work overtime to assist them. Amen. Luke chapter 25, have you got it? Matthew 25. Luke's good too. However, there is no Luke 25, so you can't be turning there. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Now here the talents, that is, represents a weight of precious metal. Potentially gold. Amen? A talent represents money. Back then precious metal was money. So a talent represented a whole lot of money. Amen? We'll call it investment capital funds. And he gives to these 3 individuals, one he gives 5 talents... fairly large amount, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent. Still, even 1 talent is no small amount of money. Mike, do you know how much a talent of gold is worth? Five talents is $1.9 million. So 1 talent is something like $400,000. So don't get in mind this is some small little bitty amount. Understand as well, and that was a long time ago. Gold's gone way up. Gold's gone way up. So it could be a talent now was worth $1 million. Understand, this represents purchasing power. This represents investment power. Amen. Now, what did we say the currency of the kingdom of God is? Faith. I want us to do an experiment tonight. I want to use faith in place of talents. Because when Jesus, see, we always teach this. You know, Jesus, when he taught a parable, the parable always was an analogy of something else. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sower goes out to sow. Amen. He used analogies that represented something other than what it actually was. And we always teach Matthew chapter 25 regarding as it's money. You follow me? We always teach Matthew chapter 25 and Luke chapter 19, the parable of the pounds. We always talk about, well, it's talking about money. He gave money to these people. I want to propose tonight and many won't receive this if you try to tell them about it, that actually the currency God is referring to is faith. And faith, even one talent of faith, is worth $1 million. That faith has much more value than any natural wealth that exists. Are you following me? God takes faith very seriously. He considers it a very high value. And He gave each one according to their several ability, the faith they were able to operate in. Do you see this? Because in the kingdom of God, gold has no purchasing power other than as a seed. But in the kingdom of God, faith is the currency. Are you following me on this so far? So it says, He gave unto them according to their several ability. He took His leave. The journey, verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. In other words, he took his 5 talents and he doubled it into 10. Right? Now again, we usually talk about this being money, but we're talking about faith now. He took his faith and he exercised it. He traded it. He used his faith. And as he used his faith and he stayed in the system, he doubled his faith to 10 talent level. Amen. It says in verse 17, and the one that received 2, doubled his into 2 more. Amen. But then the one that had 1, verse 18, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, it says he digged in the earth and hid the money. So we can assume here he never used it. Understanding now that the currency is faith, he never used his faith. He was given a measure of faith when he was born again. Or at this time he had a level of faith that he never used that faith that he was given. He probably just happy coming to church and hearing revelation and never really applied the revelation. Amen. He was probably just happy filling his, you know, spiritual knowledge data banks and never really wanted to step out and fulfill the calling of God. It says he digged in the earth. Now this is something that I meditate on years ago. I've taught this parable for many years. What does it mean he digged in the earth and he buried it? And it occurred to me, man is made of the dust of the earth. He invested what God gave him in man. Instead of using his faith to access supernatural power, he buried it and trusted in man's strength instead. Amen. Then the man came back. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talent level faith. Behold, I've gained them 5 other talents, faith more. I've doubled my faith. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful, faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When God comes back, did He say, would He find money on the earth? He said, will He find faith on the earth? When the ruler comes back, He's not looking to find out whether we doubled our money, although I believe faith will do that. He's looking to find out whether we doubled our faith, quadrupled our faith, exponentially increased our faith. He says, be thou ruler over cities. Is that what He said? Be the ruler over much. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Now, in the realm of the kingdom of God, what gives you authority to rule? Is it money or is it faith? Money doesn't buy you any authority in the spirit. It buys you authority in the natural. That's why Jesus used this example. He was talking about natural authority as an analogy of spiritual authority. He says, Double your faith and you'll operate in higher authority and step into joy. You know what joy is a result of? You know what, not happiness, but genuine joy is a result of? Genuine joy is a result of inner fulfillment. Inner fulfillment is the result of having fulfilled what God assigned you to do. And using your faith to accomplish this assignment is what brings you fulfillment. I heard a quote years ago that I was told that Clark Gable made. I don't remember who I heard it from. I heard it on the radio years ago. Clark Gable, one of the most successful, famous actors of all time, Gone with the Wind, movie after movie, voted Hollywood's number one actor for year after year. And near the end of his life, he died very young. I think he was 60. I think he was 60 when he died. And they interviewed him and they said, "Do you have any regrets in life?" He says, "Yes. When I was young, God called me in the ministry. And I said, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go into acting." He said, "I regret that decision." One of the most successful men ever in the world's view said, "I should have answered the ministry call." See, all that effort producing worldly fame and finances could not bring him fulfillment. Fulfillment is only through fulfilling or answering God's call upon your life. Amen. And only faith can bring you into fulfilling that. Because we've already talked about it in the past many times. What God calls you to is going to be bigger than you. It's going to need, you're going to need God's power, and only faith can access that power. So because they built their faith, they built their faith currency, account level, God said, enter into joy and enter into authority. Verse number 21. "He that also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, what does the man with the four talents receive? Let me restate that. What did the man with the 10 talents receive that the man with the four talents didn't? Nothing. The verses 21 and 23 are identical. Word for word identical. Amen? They both got the same reward. So understand, it's not how high of a level necessarily you accomplish for God. It's how much you multiply faithfully what He gave you. It says He gave them according to their ability. One apparently had the ability to operate at 5-talent faith level. One had the ability to operate at 2. But they were both totally faithful what God gave them. They doubled it. I shouldn't say totally faithful. They both doubled what they were given, and God gave them the same reward. So the man that goes around the world and preaches the gospel, sees multitudes saved, may not receive, when we get to heaven, may not have a bigger reward than the intercessor back home that's being faithful to their assignment. Or the one that has a small church, or the one that has their own little business, or the one that's just working for somebody. The one taking care of children. They're using the faith that God gave them. They're applying it faithfully. Amen. And as they do that and they increase in faith, God says you get the same thing. Now, I personally believe if you're faithful to whatever God calls you to do, He's going to get you at much higher levels before it's done. But faithfulness in using your faith versus bearing it and trusting in man is what God says are going to get you the rewards and the authority and the joy. Do you see this? And then, verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, here, there thou hast, that is thine." He said, "I buried it. I trusted a man instead of your faith power. And it stayed intact. It stayed buried. you got to let it out. You can't keep the word buried within you. You've got to let it out. In fact, I suggest you keep putting in word until it has to come out. It comes out of your life. It comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your actions. But he said, I buried it because I was afraid. We got to trust God enough and His love enough that we can step out. And if we mess up, God will cover us. Versus be afraid if I mess up, God's going to kick me out of the kingdom. But how can we apply this to faith? He went and buried it because he was afraid. The reason people don't use the faith they have or grow it is because they really are afraid it won't work. Well, if I don't go to the doctor and I trust in God to heal me, what if it doesn't work? I'll have more pain. You're letting fear dominate you. You're keeping your faith buried. You may have heard of God's healing power for years, but you won't apply it because you're afraid that it won't work. The Scripture says we'll be held accountable for every idle rhema that we receive, every idle word. That word's rhema. If you receive the word of faith and healing, apply it. Don't bury it. Well, if it doesn't work, you know, and I'm not against doctors, especially if your life's in jeopardy, get to the doctor. But don't be more afraid of pain than you are afraid of not using your faith. I am more afraid of not using my faith than I am of pain. I'm telling you. You've got to overcome fear to become a faith Christian. You got to believe, even if it doesn't work, God's got your back. I don't know how many times, this has happened. It's happened many times since I've been born again. I've gotten hit with attacks where the devil said, you're going to die, or you're going to be paralyzed, or your life's going to be shambles. And the devil, I remember that first time it really happened there on Palumbo Drive, there at our first church we leased. And I got hit in that Bobby Jean meeting that day. Ended up in Pastor Jim's office. Felt like I was going to die. This would have been 1992. Felt like I was going to die. I felt like every organ in my body shut down. You guys have heard this testimony, chances are. And the devil was screaming, you better get to the doctor. You better call the ambulance. You'll be dead in an hour if you don't call them now. You better hope they get there quick enough. And I felt like it. But I kept saying, no, God's healed me. By His stripes I was healed. And it looked like my whole life was on the line that night. And I said, I will trust in faith more than I'll trust in an ambulance. And they went and got Pastor Callahan out of a Bobby Jean meeting. He came back and prayed for me and it broke. I was back in service before the service was over, healed. But for that period of time, it was probably an hour or so, my life looked like it was on the line. And I said, and my attitude was, I'm not going to bury my faith and trust in man at this time of a critical decision. Either faith works or it doesn't. But you could die. I'd rather die trusting God than trust in man and live. Again, I'm not against doctors. You follow me? Someone comes up and shoots you in the head and you're still breathing, get to the doctor. Amen. You get hit by a semi and you can still see. Get to the hospital. I'm just talking about the things that you have the ability to confront with your faith exercised. Otherwise, according to these scriptures, we could be held accountable. Amen. Well, I don't know about that tithing stuff. I just don't believe I believe in that tithing. You're burying your faith. Sowing seed. I've got these bills due. I can't afford to sow a seed. I can't afford to radically give. You're burying your faith because you've heard the word. You've got the revelation of it. You know what the word says, but you're afraid God won't fulfill His word. And so you don't do what the word says and you've buried it. Well, I know I should forgive everybody, but you just don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how they come against me. You don't understand, you know, what they said to me. And I just can't. They've apologized, but I just can't forgive them. I'll never forgive them. I know what the Word says. So you're afraid to use your faith that God can cover you even when somebody comes against you. And you bury your faith. You follow me on this? We will be held accountable more for what we do with our faith than what we do with our finances. And we know we'll be held accountable for our finances. Amen? You're going to be held accountable. And I'm not talking about this God looking to wipe us out. I'm talking about accessing the rewards of God. What are we doing with the faith He gave us? Are we really looking to live by faith, or are we looking just to kind of touch on faith when it's convenient? Or if the pills can't fix it, or, you know, Medicare doesn't cover it. So the man said, I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the earth. Understand? Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God, right? Verse number 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Now, we always think of wicked of being evil, right? You evil servant. And we might say, well, that's not me, I'm not evil. But the word wicked comes from means a word that means twisted. That's where we get wicker from. He didn't say you're evil necessarily, he said you're twisted. He said you're twisted in your thinking. You're calling me, you know, a hard and austere God. You're twisted in your thinking. You're afraid of me when you should be afraid of the enemy. You're twisted in your thinking. You're twisted in your thinking that you think the faith's not going to produce or it's not going to work. You're twisted. And then he says, and you're lazy. God says those that have been given a measure of faith, if they don't use it, they are lazy and they're twisted. Sounds like we're already stepping into the faith rally, doesn't it? And if you look at the average Christian, they have no comprehension of what faith is. They bury what little they have and never think about using their faith. Think about the Christians you know that don't go to a revivalist church. They never consider using faith. They think you're crazy. You're that name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it group. I would not want to stand before God with that attitude. You know, you go before God and you say, well, I just believe that church was name it, claim it group. They're blabbing and grab it. And Jesus says, well, so was I. Amen. But we should not have that attitude in the church of revelation knowledge. The church is hearing about faith. We should be looking to use it. Well, you're condemning me. No, I am counseling. Rise up and use it. Refuse to be lazy with your faith. You can have people that are hard workers in the natural, but lazy in faith. Amen. Verse 28. Oh, let's read verse 27 again. Verse 26 again. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. He says, you know that I'm a God that I have possession of all things. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He said, you should have put my money with the exchangers. Now, what's that represent? What is an exchanger in the natural? It'd be the bank. You should have bought a CD or something, get me some kind of interest on it. You went and buried it. It produced nothing. You should have at least invested into a system, you know, bought some stock or some bonds or something to bring me some kind of return. But understand, this parable is an analogy. Amen. I don't believe his primary message here is money. I believe it's faith. So when he says, you should have invested in the exchangers, what's he talking about? Find a ministry that is using faith and sow into them at least. That at least there's some ministry multiplying what's been put in your hand. At least pray for, get behind a ministry that's doing something. Regarding faith, pray for Grace Ministries. Pray for their outreaches. Use your faith. Connect to somebody using faith and get involved in their vision. Maybe you don't have your own vision. Get behind somebody that does have a vision. And use your faith to support them financially, physically, and intercession, spiritually. And so here Jesus says, you've blown it in every direction. Verse 28, take therefore that talent, the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. Uh-oh. Now we have a major problem. Now in the natural regarding money, here God just said, take from the poor and give to the rich. That's the way God thinks. Take from the poor and give to the rich. That's basically what he said. But the way God saw it is, take from the one doing nothing and give it to one that will do something with it. Now in society today, it's all about taking from the rich and give to the poor. I'm not talking about the poor always being lazy, but in this example, it's talking about a slothful servant. And in our mindsets, we've had so much political nonsense so in our lives, we think there should be equality across everybody. And that's not the way the kingdom operates. Jesus never came and preached equality as far as financial equality. We're equal socially, you follow me, but not equal financially. God's system, if you read the scriptures, you study it, God is a capitalistic God. And he said, the one that works will have. One that's lazy, he'll lose what he has. And we've tried to reverse God's system and say, the one that won't work, let's give him from the one that will work versus the other way around. Now see, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling what the Word says. I didn't write this. God hates lazy. Again, I'm not talking about those that have had a hard time coming up, or if I mean, and have lack. I'm talking about those that just will not do anything. But here we're talking about faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. And God said, take the potential I put in his hand and give it to the one that's doing something with what they already have. So the one that's using their faith, maybe to go to the nursing home, or they're going out and they're using their faith for whatever that God's called them to do. They've built their own business, or they're just working in excellence where they're at. God says, the one that's using his faith, I'm going to bring into their hands more than they even brought through their own efforts. Let me explain that for a second. Here, this man that had 5 doubled it into 10. Right? Double it into 10. But then God says, not only are you going to have the 10, you're going to end up with 11. Maybe even more from other people that wouldn't work their faith. And God will say, yes, you did enough work to double yours from 5 to 10, and there's a reward there, but guess what? I'm bringing you the other stuff that nobody else worked, and I'm bringing it to you as well. And before you know it, he's got 20 talent faith. When he only put forth effort, that should have brought him 10 talent faith. Because those that won't apply themselves, in these end times, God's got a work to be done, and those that won't do it, he's saying, okay, the ones that will, get ready for overflow in your life. Get ready for an impartation on your life that you never dreamed possible. So we always tend to project out from where we're at, what we've experienced in the past as far as God moving on us or growing our lives or bringing us into, you know, his purpose. And then we take that experience of the past, we try to project it into the future. Mathematically, we would call it a straight line graph. Should have brought my chalkboard out. Linear. See, Mike's following all this. A linear equation. Here's where I was, here's where I am, and it'll just keep going like that. And we project where we'll be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. God said, you don't understand. There's a whole group that they're not using their faith. And I've got to get somebody who will fulfill this end time purpose. It's got to be done. I've already prophesied it's going to be done. It's going to be done for the ones that are using their faith, not through the lazy, but the workers of faith. So I've got to get to you what they're not using, and your curve's going to look like this. It's going to look like it, and you think it's going to be here. And God said, no, it's going like this. I've got to pour on you what's necessary to bring the glory into the earth and to bankrupt the kingdom of darkness. Here's another aspect of that. The Bible says God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Now understand, we are all members of the body of Christ, and members in particular. Are you following me? There have been seeds sown for the past 2,000 years that have never been reaped on. You can look over the past. There were seeds sown over the past 500 years in the Reformation. People's entire properties taken away, lost everything they had, you know, considering it seed, lost their lives, lost everything that we've never seen the harvest on. Yet God's not mocked. Now, looking at the body of Christ as a single member, as being Christ versus each individual members, all those seeds sown in times past were done by the body of Christ. And before Jesus comes back, that body must reap the reward or harvest off of those seeds. If I could put it in these terms, Rebecca used the example in the offering of asparagus takes 2 years to produce. There are other crops that take decades to produce. I believe olive trees are one of them. It takes like 40 years for an olive tree to start producing. To reach full maturity and start producing, 40 years. A grapevine is like 10. And so maybe your grandfather planted some olive trees he never saw the harvest off of. Maybe, you know, his dad took over after he passed away. I mean, his son took over after he passed away, your dad. And still, for the next 20 years, the olive tree still didn't produce. But all of a sudden, your dad dies, you come on the scene, you're the new heir. And during your lifetime, now all of a sudden, all these olive trees that were planted decades ago start producing an abundance of olives, and you receive the harvest of it. Same family planted it, but only the end generation receives the result of it. I believe that's the way God looks at the body of Christ. And every seed that was sown for the past 2,000 years must bring forth a harvest according to the Word of God. But it'll only be the end time generation that's going to see the majority of it brought forth. God's not going to just bring to you the hundredfold of what you've sown. He's going to bring you the hundredfold of whatever seed that's been sown since Jesus went to the cross. That's how He's going to bankrupt the devil. It's not just through our seed. It's through God multiplying our seed because we're faithful in bringing us everybody else's seed that never saw the result of it and overflow coming on our lives. Can you dig it? But yet, it will not come upon those lazy in their faith. It's going to come upon the one that's radical in his sowing, radical in his believing God for healing, radical in his believing God for the anointing of love, radical in his moving out with the faith he has. And God says, okay, he's doing it. Bring more to him. There is a principle in industry. I don't know the numbers. Perhaps Mike can help me tonight. But there's a principle that bosses find the hardest workers and give them more work. They find the hardest workers and say, he can do it, he'll do it, give more to him. Sometimes forget to raise their pay. But God never forgets to raise your pay. You got a major project due. You don't find the laziest guy you got. You find the one that gets stuff done. And you give them more. Well, so does God. He finds the one exercising in the faces, give them more. They can handle it. What they can't handle, I'll help them on. But they're faithful with it. Remember thou good and faithful servant? And we are going to be, those who will apply themselves, are going to be a generation that God overflows with the abundant harvest of the past 2,000 years. And those, now here we go. This is going to be a statement many are going to find hard to grasp, but I believe it. I believe before Jesus comes back, the religious church is going to be exposed. And God's going to strip away all their holdings. For those who are just playing church, having a form of godliness but denying it, even attacking the power thereof, from such turn away. He's going to turn over all their holdings to those that are faithful with the word of faith. And we will just step into major buildings. Major holdings, major properties. Not to mention what those who are in the world that turn to God are going to turn over to us. I believe most of our churches that we'll step into are already built. Somebody's going to hand us the keys. Amen. Alma, can I share that vision? I won't name names. Alma had a dream a few nights ago, and she saw a major ministry figure that for years I've known, at least I've believed, was preaching a watered-down gospel. Or a soul-oriented, like we talked about, a soul-oriented cheerleading gospel. And she didn't know this about this individual. But I studied the anointing. And I'm talking about world-renowned. And all of a sudden they saw the back of their skirt lifted up or separate and keep opening and keep opening. And next, you know, they were fully exposed from behind. She asked me, what's it mean? I said, I believe God's about to expose soul-oriented gospel ministers. There's about to be an exposure between those that are in faith and those that aren't. Amen? And you want to make sure that you're not playing church. You're actually operating in the power of the kingdom of God. Well, who do you think you are? I'm just telling you what the Word says. We're sharing out of Matthew chapter 25. You draw your own conclusions. Amen. If that made sense to you. But I'm convinced that there is a reckoning day coming in the house of God to determine who is really using their faith currency and who isn't. And before Jesus comes back, and I believe before the harvest takes place, there's going to be a transfer of holdings from those that are not using their faith, of what they hold, to the one that will use their faith. And a whole lot of Christian churches that thought they were rich, fat, and happy are going to be told by God, you're poor, dumb, and naked like the Laodicean church. And unless they repent, they'll be thrown into outer darkness. In fact, I believe we can somewhat compare the Laodicean church to this individual that buried his talent. Lived by his own strength and intellect. He says in verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable. Now what made him unprofitable? See, the truth is, in the natural world, he may have been very wealthy. I mean, he had enough that he could bury what God gave him and have enough to survive on himself. So let's use this example for just a minute. A lot of times the ones that we use their faith the much are the ones that have nothing in the natural and must use faith. Did you follow me on that? I believe some of the greatest faith ministers we have were those that grew up with nothing, had to learn faith because that's all they had to rely on. But there are many that are wealthy that learn the same messages, have the same preaching messages sown into them, but because they're wealthy, they have so much financial backing supporting them, they always lean to their financial backing. They never use their faith. They keep it buried. And they live off of what they naturally have. This individual that had 5 talents doubled into 10 may have been broke in the natural starting out. Same with the one that had 2. The one that had the 1 talent may have been wealthy in the natural. And he buried the talent because he felt he didn't need it. I'm afraid it won't work. I can depend upon my own banking account. I don't need God's faith account. And God says, take it from him. In fact, take everything he has, throw him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So then what do you want to focus on? What should we be focusing on with our lives? Should it be our natural jobs? Focus on it, but use your faith to focus on it. Trust God for your job. Trust God to promote you in your job. Don't think it's just because you have certain natural skills or developed skills. Use your faith. Seek God. God, where can I stretch in faith? Expect God to open doors for you that no man can close if you keep your faith activated. Because to not use your faith is to be lazy with God's kingdom currency. And I'm telling you, this is not to scare anybody. This is not a fear-based ministry. This is to let you know, however, God holds us accountable for what he's put in our hands, how we use it. And to not use it will not be profitable for us. Verse 12, Jesus said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now it's pounds. Before we talked about talents being a way to measure metal, now it's pounds of metal. Again, a pound of gold is worth a lot of money. Amen. What's a pound of gold worth now? Probably $35,000 or so. Well, not that much. A lot of money. $1,400 an ounce now. That's a troy ounce. So I don't know what it equates to a natural pound. Anyway, he called his 10 servants, delivered on them 10 pounds, and said, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, let me pause here for just a second. In Matthew chapter 25, it said he gave every man according to his ability. We know that's how God operates. That's his M.O. He gives to our ability. Never gives us more than we can handle, but he'll give you what you can handle. Right? And we know that one received five, one received two, one received one, so there's a difference in ability. In Matthew 19, there's 10 pounds and 10 servants. They each receive 1 pound. So we can ascertain from here they have the same ability. Do you see that? Because God gives according to ability. If he gives each of them 1 pound, they must all have equivalent ability. Amen. And understand this talent, or this pound, I believe, represents a faith impartation, a measure of faith given. It says in verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound, thy 1 pound, hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, that have thou authority over 10 cities. Now again, does multiplying money give you authority in the realm of the Spirit? No. What multiply gives you authority in the realm of the Spirit? Faith. I believe we can plug in faith into this parable. He says, and the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound. I have kept it laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee. Again, like the individual, he buried his, basically. That napkin, when we see the word napkin appear in Scripture, usually this is a grave napkin. He's buried it into a dead situation. Now here's what I want you to see. One had 1 pound and multiplied it into 10. One had 1 pound and multiplied it into 5. They had the same ability, but one maxed his out with 10, and one only did half as much at 5. But still God said to each, have authority over 10 and 5 cities. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for action. Did you follow me on that? Don't let the devil condemn you because you're not doing it perfectly. Are you acting on what you have? Amen. See, I want to leave you with the understanding that faith is a currency. And if you don't use it at all, you're going to be in trouble. But use it. Apply yourself to it. And if you'll apply yourself to it, there's a reward in it. And God says the reward is not just what you purchase with it. Now here we go again. The one took his talent or his pound, his faith, and multiplied it into 10 times as much. And God didn't say, okay, keep the 10 times as much. He said, no, there's a reward attached to that. You also get authority over 10 cities. Now, follow me on this. Y'all still with me for a few more minutes? If God told the man to have authority over 10 cities, then he must have the faith that nobody in 10 cities has. Did you follow me on that? I mean, if half of Christianity has that level of faith, we can't all have authority over 10 cities. You know, there's not going to be 1,000 people in Georgetown that have authority over Georgetown. What this tells us, because there's a limited number of cities on earth, what this seems to imply is that not many people are going to do what the Lord is instructing us to do. Which makes you, if you're using your faith, a rare commodity to God. You're valuable to God. Don't stop. You don't know how rare you are. Do you know how few people in Georgetown are actually using their faith? There may be a bunch of them heard about faith. Maybe a bunch of them believe in faith. But how many are using their faith? Because if we studied in this church, there's a whole bunch in this church probably not really using it. I shouldn't say a whole bunch. There's some that are hearing it, think it's a great message, but when they get home, they're not doing it. God's looking for people that will do it. And when He finds someone that will do it, you do not understand the rewards. Joshua and Caleb were 1 in a million. Right? When Israel came out of Egypt, they were 2 million strong, it's believed. And out of that 2 million, only 2 of the adults went into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. 1 in a million. 2 million divided by 2 is 1 in a million. Do you understand that you potentially are also 1 in a million? If you use your faith, that there are so few of us around that actually apply ourselves to grow our faith, that God's got all this increase He wants to bring on your life, way beyond what you dreamed, if we just stay the course. When the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? Answer is right here, yes. Amen, you're going to do it. Now listen, are each of us going to have authority over 10 cities? I don't know. I don't know if I'll settle for 10 cities. How about you? But I believe God's going to give you great authority in the realm of the Spirit by being faithful and using your faith for the situations you're in today. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Faith is a currency of the kingdom of God. Father, seal this word in us and cause a desire to use our faith for every situation. Spirit of God, I ask you to remind us when circumstances arise contrary in our life, remind us to use our faith against them. Cause us to stand in the little battles against those things that which rise up so we're ready when the big battles come. We have experience already established that we can walk as overcomers. We thank you for this. As you remind us, we determine to use it. We will not be lazy. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer, be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.